supporters to storm the Capitol building last month. BBC News.
Read by Chris Aldridge. The studio manager was Mark Stevens. In a moment, Mira Sahal's comedy creation Granny Kumar returns to Radio 4.
This is Greg James, and I'm back with a brand new series of Rewinder, the show where I delve into the enormous BBC archive and get distracted by rare audio artifacts like this. That's the sound of a 3,000-year-old trumpet from the tomb of Tutankhamun. No, no, really. Join me as we go off on tangents, reliving forgotten interviews, celebrating some silliness from the past, and tracking down your requests.
This is the world he lives in.
Rewinder returns this Saturday morning at 10:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
But now it's time for Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar.
Hello everybody, welcome to Wembley Community Centre and to my brand new chat show Gossip and Goddesses with me, Ami Kumar. The Ami Kumar, yeah, the outrageous octogenarian of the celebrity couch, the mighty fine mofo in a motorised wheelchair. Yeah, you may remember me as the talented one with the good teeth from the hilarious comedy The Kumars at Number 42. No. The occasionally amusing comedy, The Kumars at Number 40.
Ami, stop.
Maya, darling, don't interrupt. I need to rehearse my opening monologue.
Look, you need to stop talking.
No way. That's why I'm doing this show. So our sisters can be heard to celebrate their stories and their...
Look, your microphone is live.
What? Oh, this new hearing aid is total pants.
No, it's not a hearing aid. It's your headset microphone and everyone can... hear you.
They heard me? Samira Ahmed and Tandy Newton heard all that?
Well, lucky our guests haven't arrived yet.
Phew, lucky they didn't hear me washing my bits in the sink. How's it looking out there?
Well, judging by the whine of hearing aids, I'd say busy. So, Ami, still want the roving mic for audience questions?
Of course. My Silverbatch ladies group can't wait to chat with the stars. Maya, my darling granddaughter.
Great-granddaughter.
Shut up. Are you really?
Sanjeev, your grandson is my dad, so...
Bugger that. Makes me sound too old. Unless you say the great really loudly, like, wow, she's a great grandma.
Age is a number. Own your wise womanhood, great grandma.
Says the embryo. Anyway, I want you to tell me if my opening chat is dope enough. So, gonna cover tax on tampons, gender fluids...
Fluidity.
Fluids. Mary Berry, obviously. And thought I'd open with... So, normally Sanjeev, my useless grandson, does the chat bit, but he's gone off to break America by sitting on it. Slam dunk.
No.
No?
No. Ami, you told me this show is about celebrating our heroines. About positivity, inclusivity...
Yes, yeah, so?
So, no fat jokes or cheap gags. This is my rep as well as yours, or you get someone else to do the sound, yeah?
Ami, namaste. Sorry I'm late. Had to yell at the baby yoga group to vacate the hall. What a bunch of criers. But it's packed out there now.
Hello, Geeta. Oh, that's quite a statement sari you're wearing.
You do know this is a radio show, Auntie Geeta.
As Grand Bat of the Silver Bats Ladies Group, I have to set an example. And Radio 4 audiences will recognise the chink of real gold. So, Maya, want to put my microphone on?
What?
I'm co-hosting with Ami. She didn't tell you? We're practically sisters. Shame not to use our incredible chemistry in the show.
Plus, you said you wouldn't pay for the hall every week if I didn't let you.
Did I?
Right. Better find another headset mic.
So, Maya, how old are you now? 19, is it?
5'6", pansexual / curious, studying international politics and plumbing, very happily single, I'm out of here.
She also likes pina coladas and getting caught in the rain.
Ami, Samira Ahmed's arrived.
What?
I know, she's on time.
Honestly, what kind of Asian is she?
One that's finally going to set a precedent for the rest of us.
Hello, Samira, darling. Welcome to Wembley. Come in, come in.
Thank you.
And welcome to our bijou green room / kitchenette.
Excellent. Hello. Really nice.
Oh, it's so honoured to meet you, Samira. Oh, Geeta Bhandari,
Hello,
MBE,
Geeta.
Co-host.
Sidekick, really.
Listen, Samira, my ladies' group, the Silver Bats, they're your biggest fans. Mm. So anything you need, just ask me, Grand Bat Geeta. Okay?
Oh, thank you.
See you on the board.
Yeah, we call her Grand Bat because she spends most of the day hanging upside down eating fruit. Maya, why are you waving at me? Spit it out.
Look, we need to start now because Dean's salsa class has the hall from 7.
Oh, bugger. Well, I'll just have to talk quickly then. All right, Samira, darling. See you out there.
Gossip and goddesses with Granny Kumar. Gossip and goddesses with Granny Kumar.
And Geeta.
And our first goddess we're going to gossip with is a total heroine. She's a multi-award-winning journalist and broadcaster, presents high-class programmes such as Front Row and Newswatch, and is our very own equal pay warrior. Let's give a big Silver Bats welcome to Samira Ahmed. Welcome,
you.
Darling. You know, you're our first guest on our first show. We are so honoured.
Thank you. It's an honour to be here with all the aunties.
Hi.
She's like the daughter I should have had. So beautiful, so clever.
So solvent. Now, darling, we've seen you being fiercely brilliant on so many programmes, but you knew you wanted to be a journalist early on, didn't you? Didn't you used to make your own radio shows on a tape recorder?
Yeah, I did. And I used to... It used to be a show called Geet Mala, and I used to listen to the Indian language shows that my mother used to listen to. Uh-huh. And we used to make our own version and slightly parody it, trying to be a bit of a DJ. But it was interesting listening back to them because they were just full of parodies of the radio that my parents listened to.
Gotcha. Now, I won't even bother asking you if you were expected to be a high achiever because you're Asian in it. But you have talked about your father's incredible work ethic. That must have inspired you.
Yeah, well, my dad lost his own father when he was a little boy. And he was of that generation. My mother, too. They came to London separately and they met in 1960. And my father set up his own business, having started out as a clerk. And it's one of those amazing stories of our immigrant parents who made their own way. Mm. And my mother would sometimes say, you know, Dad doesn't have the time to come to your parents' evenings and things. Mm. But I always understood why, because he was working.
Yeah. You know? Your mama is an amazingly talented woman in her own right, isn't she, Samira?
Well, my mum's, yes, an actress. And
very wonderful actress, actually. Ah.
And she started out when she came here working for the World Service Bush House and did a lot of work for the Hindi section. So she used to take me to Bush House with her. And I used to sit looking at all the theatres outside and the red buses and used to think I'm at the centre of the world and listening to all her friends discussing politics and, you know, and culture. And I just felt that this was a really interesting world that I could be part of.
Yeah, so that's where you got bitten by the broadcasting bug.
Yeah, and it was interesting. It was very much the kind of news bug rather than the acting bug. Because my mother would read the news on Nea Zindagi Nea Jeevan on
we BBC loved that show. Nea Zindagi Nea Jeevan. Oh, ho, ho. But I'm glad to hear you had a working mummy. I mean, which mummies don't work, frankly?
We are very good at multitasking.
Yes, that's why our goddesses have so many arms.
Now, darling, despite growing up in South London, you got into Oxford University.
Can you say despite?
I'm sorry, that's a big dumb.
And you read English. Now, why is that? Was pharmacy all full up?
I got an honorary doctorate a couple of years ago.
Well,
and my mother, she said, can I now say you're a doctor?
No.
So, yeah, sadly, I didn't have the disposition for dispensation and I never became a pharmacist or a doctor.
Do you know, I'm so dumb with this ridiculous fear of our young people studying the arts. I mean, what's that about, Samira Didi?
This obsession with something that is purely vocational. It's fine if that's where your passion is, but it's studying something you love. I mean, I don't know, I look back and I think the one place where I felt I was treated really well and my tutors had such faith in me was at Oxford, where I was taught by these elderly, you know, English gentlemen who believed in equal opportunity. And, you know, that really has powered me. That's had a huge impact on my ability to kind of give things a go because I knew that they believed in me.
That's so reassuring to hear, actually.
Samira, auntie, I mean, you managed to get into journalism at the BBC straight after uni.
I'd always been obsessed with the BBC, partly because my mother had worked there, but also I'd had a letter read out on Newsround. And Lucy Marthon, you know, was the co-presenter of Newsround, who was the first Asian woman reporter there.
Yes.
And, you know, That was a huge impact on me. Her and Sharma Pereira, who presented on ITV. You know, there are always role models there for you to see.
Absolutely, darling. Role models are so important, you know. As the saying goes,
if you can see it, you can be it.
I was thinking of whoever smelt it, dealt it, actually. But yes, that one as well.
Listen, I don't like the sound of this series you do called Front Row. I mean, that's the worst place to sit. You always get covered in spit.
Who was your favourite interviewee on that?
The other day I interviewed David McKee, who wrote Mr. Ben.
Oh, Mr. Ben.
And part of what was lovely was he was so modest. Part of it was reconnecting with my childhood. And there was something about Mr. Ben, that bowler-hatted gent who walked down that road. And I feel he was like part of me connecting to London and feeling my identity was British and not just Indian.
Samira, darling, your mummy was a famous cook. Are you a good cook as well?
That's a bit sexist, isn't it, Auntie Geeta? Samira's a working mother. Why don't you ask her if her husband is a good cook?
Her husband's not here, is he? Silly girl. Does someone cook in your house or do you exist on takeaways and gin like so many modern families
nowadays?
Okay, so
it's a confession. I do cook, but my mother lives up the road and she's always offering to cook.
You know, when I first got married, my husband's favourite dish was me lying naked on a naan.
And now it's a hobnob in the garden shed. And that's marriage in a nutshell, ladies.
Samira, you're amazing, by the way. If I could, I'd love to take some of my aunties to court for emotional blackmail and crimes against fashion.
Hey, cardigans never go out of fashion.
But you actually took on Auntie Beeb and won an employment tribunal over equal pay, didn't you?
Yes, Samira. I mean, it takes ovaries what you did. We bow down to you. But how did you find out about this appalling pay gap in the first place?
I always knew that I wasn't being paid properly. And I kept asking and kept asking. And then when the first high pay list came out in 2017, I looked at who was on it. I looked at what programmes they were presenting. And I thought, well, there's a very obvious comparison here. And I straight away raised an equal pay issue. I said, I think I've got an equal pay comparison with Points of View. And you know, the BBC kept saying, no, you don't. And I went through a whole internal process, 2 years of grievance and appeals and all the rest of it. But two key things. One is I'm an investigative journalist. So gathering information and finding out the truth is my job and holding people to account is my job. But another key issue, and it really matters, is that Jeremy Vine told me what he was earning. And every man, I spoke to three different men who were on comparable programmes because I was trying to work out how to bring my case. And every single man told me and was willing to share. And I think it's really important that people realise this wasn't about men versus women. No. It was about employers treating all their employees fairly.
That is a very good point.
Very great.
How much support did you get?
I got a huge amount. I mean, it was really interesting. There was a combination of a lot of colleagues came out for me, a lot of friends.
Oh, and on that uplifting note, it's time for audience questions from our ladies group, the Silver Bats. Maya, off you go with the roving mic.
No, Auntie, you're holding it upside down. Yep, that's it. That's it.
Hello, Samira.
You don't have to shout, Auntie. Can you hold it there? Okay, okay, go on.
We all love Princess Diana. She also had an arranged marriage and fell out with the in-laws. But you did a show about how Asian ladies love David Bowie. Why do we? Anything to do with cross-dressing, Samira?
Well, I did interview a woman who became a Hindu priest who said there was something of the androgyny, which reminded her of Lord Krishna. Oh.
Of course, it's in Hinduism, isn't it? Yes. Now, Samira, you've won so many things, including Audio Broadcaster of the Year and Celebrity Mastermind.
Yet your specialist subject was Space 1999. Why on earth did you choose that?
I just remember watching the show as a little kid and thinking, it's kind of like London in space. You know, it's full of people of characters, the Caribbean computer expert. And it just, I loved it.
Are you a sci-fi geek, Auntie Samira?
Totally.
Oh, me too. I mean, I know loads of brown women who are. But why do you think that is?
Well, there's something about science fiction which often represents the best of us. So, you know, thinking back to role models, I interviewed Nichelle Nichols twice now, you know, Lieutenant Uhura.
Oh,
who actually,
wonderful.
You know, had an issue with equal pay. And Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy, went and campaigned for her pay to be put up.
Oh.
But, you know, she wanted to quit that show because her role got written down.
Oh.
And she wanted to leave, and Martin Luther King convinced her to stay because of how important
she was
to viewers in the 60s.
Oh.
And I found that really personally inspirational. And actually, the reason I still wear my hoop earrings is because of Lieutenant Uhura, who's a real role model of mine.
Now, darling, what is next for you in your packed diary?
I'm hoping to do a follow-up to Art of Persia.
Oh.
And then I'm coping with my empty nest. I find it hard to believe, but both my children have now gone to university.
Are you sitting on their bed, sniffing their jumpers and crying?
Not every day.
Oh, darling, if you feel lonely, come and hang out with us in Wembley. There's always something going on.
Do you know, I think I will.
You can sniff my cardigan any time. Samira Ahmed, wherever you go, you know we will follow. Thank you for blazing all the trails for us. Ladies, show your love for the wonderful Samira Ahmed.
Oh, thank you so much, aunties.
Amazing. I was amazing. I didn't realise I was so good at this. I don't know why you make it sound so difficult, Ami. Oh, see you on the boards.
If my knees were up to it, I'd kick her right in the...
Ami, we're here to big up the sisterhood, remember?
Hmm.
Anyway, this should cheer you up. Loads of good luck tweets from your celeb mates for today's show.
Oh, read them out to me.
Okay. Smash it, Ami. Girl power. Lots of fist emojis from Olivia Colman.
Oh, dear, dear Libby.
Break a leg, sweetie. Not really, obviously. You'll never recover. From Joanna Lumley.
Darling Jojo, what a scamp.
And Gwyneth Paltrow has sent you a candle.
Don't light it!
What? Why?
Look who I found wandering around the car park. Dandy Newton.
Dandy Newton! Oh, welcome,
I'm so glad
darling.
You found me.
Darling, what an honour to have you, darling. Welcome to Wembley. This is my my sidekick.
Co-host,
yes.
Geeta Bhandari, MBE.
I am so delighted to be here in this kitchen at the Wembley Community Centre.
Oh, look, I am just going to go and wipe your chair down. Health and safety, okay?
Oh, yeah. And this is my great-granddaughter, feminist plumber, Maya.
Of such a fan, Tandy. What shall I do with this candle, Ami?
Oh, yes. Dandy.
Yes.
Gwyneth Paltrow sent me a good luck candle. I think it's one of those ones that smell like her, you know.
Nunny.
Yes.
Yes, her euphemism.
I don't think I'm going to light it. None of us want to be breathing in quite so much Gwyneth before the show, do we?
Maybe not.
Are you ready to meet your adoring public, darling?
I am.
Let's do it. See you out there.
Let's do it.
Gossip and goddesses with Granny Kumar. Gossip and goddesses with Granny Kumar.
And Geeta.
Now, our next guest quite frankly epitomises the word goddess. Her breathtaking span of screen roles include her BAFTA-winning Christine in Crash, DCI Roz Huntley in Line of Duty, and her brilliant performance as Maeve Millay in iconic HBO series Westworld. She also went to Cambridge and has an OBE. If I was younger, I'd bloody marry her. Please welcome the extraordinary Tandy Newton!
We love you!
Darling,
everyone, silver bats, hello.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness, you are so beautiful. My eyes are hurting.
And super brainy, every mother-in-law's dream. And on top of that, you're a real-life princess, aren't you, darling? Am I right?
It is true. My mother was, or is, a princess in the Shona tribe.
Oh.
So then, yeah, I inherit that.
Was your father royalty too?
Well, I guess a kind of pirate of Penzance. He's from Cornwall.
Wasn't he a lab technician?
Yes, he was a lab. That's how they met, in Zambia.
Oh,
a lab technician, and she was a midwife.
Scientist, you see? Well, that's royal to anybody who's Asian.
Yeah.
I could tell from your bone structure.
Really?
I get my cheekbones from Rajput Maharajas.
And I get my hips from Punjabi buffalo wrestlers.
Right.
But you are from African royal blood and you grew up in Cornwall.
Mm.
You must have been the poster girl for culture clash, no? Did you get old dears falling off their bikes when they saw you in Cornwall?
Oh, my goodness. I think my mum was the poster girl. And then I think she tried as hard as she could to try and encourage the whiteness in us so that we would fit in better. But the truth is, when you're a bright flower, How can you be squished into any role other than the one that you were born into?
So you have to celebrate.
That came later.
Maya, you had a question.
No, do you know, I got into trouble at school for refusing to sing hymns glorifying the empire,
and
Tandy.
For playing poker in the toilets, you naughty girl.
No, I was fundraising for Greenpeace.
Yeah.
How was it at school for you, Tandy?
Good for you, lady.
Thank you.
I would have been in your gang.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I didn't really have a gang at school. I was sort of the gang of one. Which has its benefits. No, I really sort of knuckled down, used to read a lot. I wasn't popular. I didn't really understand why. But it was obviously to do with just being different. And
Were you literally the only black child in the school?
Yes.
That's hard.
Well, to begin with, it was the best school in town. It was the Roman Catholic school run by mainly nuns. And, you know, I went all the way to Cambridge and here in the Wembley community. So it's, look, there's going to be rough and there's going to be smooth. Mm-hmm. And it's how we tackle those things.
But success is the best revenge, isn't it? I bet those nuns wet their habits when Dandy, the warrior queen, got into Cambridge University.
Hi. You have been in so many huge movies, my darling, like Mission Impossible, Star Wars, Pursuit of Happiness. And surely, please tell me, surely it's getting better for us women of colour now.
It's definitely getting better. Good. It really is. I mean, when I think about, my husband is a writer and director. And he wrote The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Both of those movies. And I just feel this, it's not just about that there are more people of colour on screen, it's that people are interested in different parts of the world and how we are all colliding. But I'm still really sad about the lack of representation behind camera.
Yes, that is
a real problem.
And Tandy, you've spoken out and exposed some racist, sexist creeps in Hollywood. Can we please show our sister some love for her bravery? How scary was that? I mean, did you worry you'd get labelled as the chip on the shoulder troublemaker like all women when they speak out?
Well, Samira knows how that feels as well. You can both talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I was. I lived it for 2 decades.
Did you ever feel frustrated that you came out and told the truth and you know that there must have been many others?
Well, I do know.
You
I
do
really,
know?
I really do know.
And in the same way, you know, I know when I went to tribunal because lots of other people got in touch with me with their own stories. And did it ever frustrate you that you felt, well, why am I having to stand up to be counted? Couldn't more do it?
It's not easy for people to come out in support if they're not ready. And it's about, you can survive. And in the spirit of survival, what do you do? Do you punish? Do you blame? Or do you just look out for others, empower others that may have been...
That's what both of you have done, actually, both of you.
It's the way forward.
It's the way forward, and it's how we survive as women of colour. We have to do it.
We absolutely have to... We are bigger.
Well, I think we need to give both our goddesses a big... Yeah. We love you for speaking out. And now, I'm sorry, Tandy, but we have to talk about one of the best roles ever, ever. Huh. Roz Huntley in Line of Duty.
Yes.
We loved that show.
Although
Geeta watched most of it from behind a cushion.
Oh, my God, it was your hand. Such a terrible injury.
Awful. Imagine
that. What a role. What a complicated, flawed woman.
It really was. And I did enjoy for weeks as it was going on, bus drivers and cab drivers. You got your arm back, Tandy!
We loved her because she was a difficult woman. And difficult women are the ones who get things done or get burned as witches. It's
That's
a gamble,
right.
You know.
But, and also, you know, the challenges she faced, the sexism and the fact that she had to sacrifice a degree of her motherhood in order to get where she'd got, you know, but that's real for a lot
of
women.
That's real. Yeah. Now, Tandy, we always let our silver bats ask our celebrity guest a question, and they can't wait. So, Maya, off you go with the roving mic.
Tandy, I'm just so in awe of you, darling. You have the slender hips of a gazelle, yet you had home births with all three of your children. How the hell did you do that?
Oh, my goodness.
How the hell did you do that?
Good question.
I'm still on the gazelle hips. How did I? Well, I did it with a little help from the three babies, I must say.
Oh,
it was amazing. I'm so fortunate that I was able to have the births that I wanted. Mm. And I say that quite pointedly, because wherever a woman has her baby, you have to hope that she has chosen that place. And for me, it was at home.
You know, Tandy, with my hips, I just coughed and the children flew out.
Are you serious? How fabulous.
But nowadays, when I cough, it's out with the rubber sheets.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm done with the bladder anecdotes. Can we please talk about Westworld now?
Westworld!
I mean, the list of awards you got for playing the glorious Maeve Millay is too long to read out. An Emmy, Golden Globe, 2 Critics' Choice Awards.
Wembley Bugle Best Actress Award. We all voted for you.
Oh, yes.
But, darling, how do you begin to research playing a robot?
Oh, goodness. Well, the good thing was that they wanted these robots to be as lifelike as possible. So that was like a big old cheat. You know. So,
did you feel a real sense of empowerment playing her?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I finished Maeve and I felt that I had risen to a place of self-empowerment, because it was about the lies, the betrayal that she'd been through, through digging and finding the truth.
I can
see
a theme.
She succeeds and she can be free. And I remember the day after we finished that first season, I went to a tattoo parlor. I'd never had a tattoo before. And I looked up my mother's language, the word for freedom, which is Rusununguko. And I had it tattooed on my arm in a circle.
Oh.
Rusununguko. Because that's how I felt.
Oh, I love that.
I think we need an Ava DuVernay in this country. You know, a black woman with proper power and, quite frankly, money. I mean, have you ever thought of producing? And what would you like to make, Tandy?
During the lockdown, I realised that one thing that I had been denied growing up was a sense of my British black pride as a woman. If we really had a sense of our pride in all the people that make up this country, you'd know about the figures that have, you know, been movers and shakers in the world. And I realised that I didn't come from a line of powerful British black women because I didn't know who they were.
Yes.
And so one of the things that I'm doing now is trying to create a moment where it is possible for every child, whatever their skin colour, to recognise a brown woman and to expect every brown girl to be capable of that kind of excellence.
And to feel personal
British pride. I want white people to feel the personal British pride they are entitled to feel when we do well.
Oh, darling, we have to wrap up soon because it's Dean's salsa class at 7 o'clock.
But we have so much more to mention.
I know. I mean, your OBE, your campaigning work for the NSPCC and the environment, making the list of the 100 most influential black Britons.
Tandy Newton, a heroine on every level. Keep fighting and inspiring all who come after you, and give it up for both our extraordinary goddesses, Tandy Newton and Sumaira Ahmed.
Yes, so much love. So much love. Oh my goodness.
God, that was incredible. I feel taller, stronger, empowered. Are you opening the fizz already?
No, that was my hip. Oh, give me a hand down to the sofa. Throat dry. Oh, vision blurring.
All right, I'm doing it.
Good girl.
We have just been reminded that we are from warrior stock, Ummi, so drop the Oppressed Brown Woman Martyr Act. It doesn't get us anywhere.
Got me a cup of tea.
Well, personally, I think it was a triumph. Can't wait for next week. And do you need the bathroom?
No.
Well, what's that smell?
Oh, you're still here.
Why are you?
I think one of those lamb samosas wasn't quite defrosted. Anyway, don't worry. I lit that very expensive-looking candle in the lavatory.
Oh, no. Oh, Gwyneth fumes.
What?
Hold your breath.
Why?
Fire extinguisher.
On it.
Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar was written by Meera Sayal. The music was by Sanjeev Bhaskar. Ami was played by Meera Sayal, Geeta by Harvey Verdi, and Maya by Umbreen Razia. The producer was Liz Anstey, and it was a CPL production for BBC Radio 4.